If you have a Bible, sounds like everybody's really enjoying the service so far. And some folks want a refund out there. I understand. I've been there. What a joy. What a joy to hear the sound of children. And if you have a Bible, open up to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, or you may have a Bible app you can use. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And as you're opening up there again, I hope all of you who are guests here today felt welcomed. And we would love to see you at our church again sometime. And it's a real joy to have you here. Also, just want to remind everybody, we've got the pavilion for the rest of the day. And there's all kinds of playgroundy things to do out here. So everyone's welcome after the meal as well to stay and fellowship, hang out, spend all the time you want here. So the park is a public park. So nobody's got to be here to lock up or anything. So y'all stay as long as you as long as you would like. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. If you have your Bibles open there, do me a favor and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you and to me. Beginning verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together, to fellowship, to sing, to eat together, to hear the gospel proclaimed. And God, I pray we would respond appropriately to your word today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Probably a decade ago, when our daughter was still in preschool, I was taking her to school one morning. It was just she and I in the car together, 3 or 4 years old. And as we were driving down the road, we look over and there's a cemetery over on the side of the road. And she looked out there at it and she said, "Daddy, what is that out there?" And I said, "That's a cemetery, sweetheart." And she said, "What's a cemetery?" And I said, "Well, when people die, bury their body there." And she's like, "Oh, goodness, that's terrible. I don't want to hear about that." And I said, like, "Okay, I mean, I didn't make you ask, you know?" And so, again, she's very little, and so sometimes people who are very little will forget that they've asked something, forget their answer to something. So the next day, we're going down the road, and we look over, and there's the cemetery again. She says, "Daddy, what's that out there?" And I said, "That's a cemetery. It's where you bury people when they..." And before I can even finish the sentence, she said, "Oh, no, not that again." The question I have for all of us this morning, and I think it's a question that all of us need to reflect on in our lives, and frankly, a question I think we need to reflect on as a society, is this: how do we cope with the brokenness of the world? How do we cope with the brokenness of the world? In all my time talking to those around me and those of us who are part of our church, and just not just in our church, but just as I talk to people, I notice a real heaviness of heart among people, a real fear and a real sadness over the brokenness of the world. There's so much going on, and sometimes it feels like it feels sort of like the darkness just keeps coming. So how do we find ourselves as a people? How do we find ourselves a way to be hopeful in a weary world? Where is our hope? How can Dane and Anna stand here and say the kind of things they say in the midst of a really difficult trial? How in the midst of a world where there are wars and disasters and assassinations and just countless horrible things that we see, how do we maintain Christian hope in the midst of it all? This morning, I want to show you three simple things about the hope that God gives us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Three things about the hope that God gives us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's point number one. Peace with God is the most important peace. Peace with God is the most important peace that we can have. We live in what many have called a therapeutic age, and obviously I'm not against all therapy, and certainly not against all mental therapy in any way, or really against it at all. But what you have had happen is sort of therapy speak has seeped out into culture, and so we'll call, there's real such thing as trauma. It really exists, and it's something that we need treatment for. But then sometimes, you know, I'm just going to say this, okay, and I don't want anybody to get mad at me, but if they get your order wrong at Starbucks, that's not trauma, okay? And so we're sort of getting to a place as a society where we'll call almost anything those things at times. And so we have to be really careful with that. One of the things I think that I've noticed as sort of the therapeutic age has worked its way into our culture, that sometimes we have made an idol of having a peaceful life. You know, just because somebody disagrees with you or you're having a hard day with somebody, that doesn't make them a toxic narcissist, right? And so you'll see memes all the time. It's like, anybody that doesn't give you peace and joy, you should cut out of your life, you know? If that becomes the case, I will not have any friends, family, or a spouse left, okay? They will all cut me out of their life. If you think about it, everything worth doing in life costs us some level of peace. There's some level of peacefulness that you forfeit when you choose to do any good thing. And so our culture has become, in a lot of ways, sort of obsessed with peace, but it's the kind of surface level peace. At the same time, I feel like we ignore the most important peace we can have in our lives, and that's peace with God. Notice what Paul says in verse 1. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, you have one major, significant, overarching problem in your life, and it's the problem of sin. And we cannot have peace with God unless our sin is dealt with. And we cannot have peace in our lives unless we have peace with God. There are so many problems in the world, but all of them stem from our problem with God. So I feel like we tend toward focusing almost exclusively on things that are going on horizontally. All the horizontal problems. And there's plenty of them, right? There's enmity between people. There's discord. There's strife. There's anger, there's maliciousness, there are things that happen to us, there are health concerns, there are family concerns, there are financial concerns, there are all sorts of problems, horizontal problems in the world. But so often we focus on all the stuff that's going this direction that we forget the main problem is going this direction. It's a vertical problem. It's our problem with God, our brokenness in our relationship with God, and that is because of sin. You see, we all long for peace, but the most important peace that we can have is peace with God. And there's only one way to fix that vertical problem, and that's through putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to deal with sin, and that's through trusting in Jesus and receiving the free gift that He has given us. As Paul says, we are justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This idea of justification it's an amazing thought. It's one of the most beautiful thoughts in the whole Bible. Isn't it amazing that, first of all, God is just? Now, when God's dealing with us, we're not so happy that He's just sometimes, right? It's sort of like if you have children, your kids don't want you to be just when they've done something wrong, do they? Want to get away with it. But what if their brother or sister's done something wrong, right? Man, the justice goes through the roof. That sense of justice is like, are you not going to do something about this? This is a fair, you know, all this different kind of thing. And what about you, right? What about you? And same thing in your life. You long for justice. We all have an innate sense of justice. And it's good that God is just. It's good that God's going to settle all accounts. It's good that God's going to settle all scores. But the beautiful thing is that God offers us justification. That is, He remains just and can offer us forgiveness and remain just because Jesus took the punishment that we deserved. It's one of the most beautiful thoughts in the Bible, and it's what allows us to have peace with God. Peace with God is the most important peace you can have. So even as the world is swirling about us, even as all sorts of awful and crazy things happen in the world, there's no more, if peace is so hard to find horizontally, nothing can take the peace that you have with God from you, because Jesus bought it for you. Peace with God is the most important peace. But second of all, let me help you see this. Hope comes from the grace that God gives us in Christ. Hope comes from the grace that God gives us in Jesus. Put more simply, through Jesus, we have obtained access to God's grace. Notice verse 2. Through Him, that's Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What a beautiful thought that is. Have you ever wanted access to something really badly? Maybe you wanted tickets to a sporting event, or you wanted to meet a celebrity, or you wanted into a certain place. There was a reservation you wanted really badly. I think all of us at different, you wanted to be in a certain clique or whatever else. I think we've all had unmet desires for access at some point in our lives. But is there anything more exclusive than to know God, our Creator? What a beautiful thing that is to consider. And it would seem like it would be the hardest thing in the world, right? It would seem like it would be so far beyond, right? Being in the exclusive place at Disney World, or being in the exclusive place at a sporting event, or whatever it is that floats your boat. It seems like it would be so much harder. But do you see what the Bible says? Through Jesus, we have obtained access. How do we do it? Do we have to pile up all our money? Do we have to make some huge sacrifice? Do we have to go beg God for this? No. We have obtained access to God by faith. We've obtained access to His grace by faith. Do you see what the Bible says here? Through faith, we can stand in God's grace. I love the idea of God's grace. It's the picture that we are receiving something good that we didn't deserve. And so none of us deserve to be saved. None of us deserve to be loved by God because of the sin which we've committed against Him. And yet He loves us anyway. Now, listen, that's not to say that God thinks you're worthless or there's nothing in you that's lovable. God made you in His image. God created you as something that's worth loving. And yet at the same time, we, in our sinfulness, right, made the decision to rebel against God. And so He would have been completely within His rights to not uphold His end of the bargain. He made us, and we should have served Him, and He loved us, and it would have been really easy, right, when we were no longer, quote, useful to God, for Him to no longer love us. But God's not like that. God is gracious. There's nothing we could do that can make Him stop loving us. And so He gives us access to Him, His perfect holiness, and He gives it to us through faith. He doesn't make us do feats of endurance. He doesn't make us follow some fivefold path. He doesn't make us do all these different sorts of things. He doesn't make us amass all this wealth. All that we have to do is put our trust and faith in Him. Notice what the Bible says. I love this. It says that when we've experienced that grace in which we stand, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I tell people at church a lot, that I am not naturally patient. Whatever patience you ever see in me is patience by conviction, okay? I know I'm supposed to be patient, so I'm working at it. I'm doing my best. And so I'm not very patient. So there's nothing in the world that sounds less joyful to me than hoping, right? I like experiencing. That's what's joyful to me, right? I like doing. I like seeing. I don't like to hope. I don't like to sit around and think, I'm sure that's going to happen. I look forward to it happening one day. I'm so excited about waiting. Maybe you're different. Maybe you're different. But I'm a lot like Tom Petty. You know, the waiting is the hardest part. So hope is available to us, and it leads us to rejoice. How can we rejoice in hope? That's the last point that I have this morning. Point three is this: Christian hope transcends suffering. Christian hope transcends suffering. Look at verse 3. Not only that, not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but we rejoice in our sufferings. what is an odd thing to hear? Because not only are we waiting for God to act and do something that we're longing for, but also while we're waiting, we're suffering. We're in the waiting room, and the waiting room is miserably hot, you know? And so here we are waiting. And the Bible says we rejoice in that. I didn't tell Anna what I was preaching on earlier, but I feel like we saw such a picture in her testimony just a few minutes ago of these very verses 3, 4, and 5. How do we go from the frustration of hope and the frustration of suffering to joy? Paul tells us here, look at what the Bible says. It says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Do you see this path, this thread of suffering? What the challenges and trials and miseries, frankly, in so many ways of life do for us? That suffering leads us to endurance, and endurance then leads us to character. And character then leads us to hope. Impatient people like me really struggle with ideas like endurance and character. And frankly, all of us in our society are trained. We're trained to expect instant gratification. We just expect it. You know, just yesterday I was ordering something for our house. And I looked at two different websites, and one said, I don't know when this is going to get there. And the other said, it should be delivered by Wednesday. And guess what? Which one I ordered. Yep. Right? Isn't it amazing to think? If something takes a week to be delivered to our house, we're like, what is going on? What in the world? You know? And whereas that would have been pretty quick just a few years ago, really. But we are expecting instant gratification. So things like endurance and character are foreign ideas to us. And so one of the ways by which God helps train us for these things is through suffering in life. It's hard. It's not something I want to go through. It's not something I want people to go through, but it's something God uses. And it leads to endurance, and it leads to character, and ultimately it leads to hope. And the Bible says hope does not put us to shame. I've hoped for something before and then felt really, really silly by the end of it for hoping for it. It happened to me, I don't know, last night at halftime. I was really hopeful. And then by the end of it, I felt put to shame. Hope does not put us to shame, though. Hope in God, hope through the gospel does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the hope that you have been given. It's not just we're out looking out, waiting for Godot, looking out into the sky, some sort of pie in the sky thing, thinking perhaps it'll work out, or perhaps it'll be okay, or perhaps this, or perhaps that. God has given us a guarantee today. He has put His love in our hearts and His Spirit in our hearts today. And so we're not put to shame in our hope tomorrow, because God has already shown us in our hearts that what He has said is true. Hope. So therefore, as Christians, we can rejoice in hope. Friends, I know, and I feel it too. There are days when the suffering and darkness in the world can feel overwhelming. There are days when you turn on the news, or you check your phone, or you wake up and whatever kind of pain it is back again. You sort of look at it and think, oh no, not that again. It can be overwhelming. It can be too much to deal with. But I want you to know something. The hope of the gospel gives us joy in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials, in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the brokenness. And it gives us that hope because of what Christ has done for us. He suffered the death that we deserved. He lived the life that we couldn't live. And now He offers perfect forgiveness and hope to us today. Friends, I want you to know something. If you're here today and you've never put trust and faith in Jesus, if you turn from your sins in repentance and turn to God in faith through Christ, you will be saved. And so we're going to have an invitation this morning. We're going to play a song here in just a moment. And I want to invite you to do business with the Lord. Now, I'm going to be standing right down front. There's several chairs to sit on that can kind of function as an altar here on the front row. I'd love for you to come down and we can sit here and I can talk with you about what God's doing in your life. Or if you want to just catch me, if you want to get a little food in your stomach first and we can talk then. You're going to be hanging around doing some stuff here. I'd love to talk to you about that. You can email me, call me. God, obviously, this is not a sacred place, right? They're going to be playing horseshoes here at some point, okay? This is not a sacred place. God can work anywhere. And so wherever you feel like God is leading, I'll be available if you need someone to talk to. But just know, this is a time, as the song plays, where we'd love for you to respond appropriately to the Lord. First of all, if you're not a Christian, we'd love for you to put your faith in Jesus today. Second of all, if you're a Christian and you need to think through and pray through some things, this altar's open for you. And finally, if you're looking for a church home, I'll be waiting down front here for you to talk about what it means to be a member at First Baptist Church. After this prayer, as the song plays, I want to invite you to respond to the Lord. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his gospel. And God, we thank you for the hope that we have in the midst of darkness and suffering. And God, I ask you if you would please move in our hearts so that we'll respond appropriately to your word today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Awesome day, and it's not over yet. There's plenty of food back there. Pardon me. Plenty of food back there for everyone. Before I return thanks for the food, just a couple words of instruction. We have two food lines running, and you can line up on either side on the inside of the tables. Line up on the inside of the tables. And you can get your food, and then the drinks are in the coolers. They're marked on the front of the cooler.
Mention throwing bulletins away. That's a good illustration.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to leave trash.
That's right. Please, and do grab all your trash today and throw it away. Bulletins and food trash and all of that. Last thing I want to say about the food line. In order to keep it moving, we're going to ask that you do not stop in line to fix your burger, but just get your stuff and come on back to your seat or find a seat and fix your plate there, wherever you land. I do want to say, Matt's already mentioned this, a special word of thanks to the Claytons and the Irwins, especially the Claytons, our master chefs back there, and we just thank them for that, and yeah. And Mike and Christy, who's heads up our hospitality committee, and all the folks helping back there, she's waving at us. So we thank you all for all that. And yeah, let me return thanks, and you can line up, and let's get after it. All right, let me pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the food that's been provided, and those who provided it and fixed it for us today. And we pray that we enjoy some good fellowship. Gathered together with our church family. in this beautiful atmosphere, Lord. We thank you for all your many blessings and for the food. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.